Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, another major hotel chain changes its cancellation policy. An international airline declares bankruptcy and is not offering refunds on their tickets for future travel. We have details coming up next.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, we'll give you a whole slew of tips on how not to lose your luggage while traveling.
At 3:35, we're joined by road reporter Jim Pelley, who has recently returned from a trip to Machu Picchu and the Galapagos Islands in South America, and is here not only to tell us about it, but to give you his wisdom on how to be a smarter traveler if you ever find yourself in Peru.
Galapagos Island, that's the place, the dinosaurs from there, right?
Yes, Tom, yes, okay. Yes.
3:35, Jackie Moore going to bring us an update from Oregon on the a pre-eclipse update, I might add.
Dinosaurs. Thank you for spending part of your summer Sunday afternoon with us. We promise to make it worth your while, even take you dinosaur hunting. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to Paradise.
To Alaska, they go north to rush you zone.
But I was born in Maine.
I come from a land of love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Welcome, my friend, to another edition of the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano were brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I just like saying the word Galapagos. Galapagos.
Where did you get the idea that dinosaurs Galapagos. Roamed the Galapagos
I
Islands?
I don't know. I thought when I was watching Jurassic Park, they were flying to the Galapagos Islands.
That was all filmed on Kauai.
Oh.
Yeah.
So there are...
That, I don't know, where they, I know the, where they were trying to tell you it was, but that's where they filmed it.
So that's where the dinosaurs are.
That's where the dinosaurs roam the earth is on.
So they're not making... We'll find out from Jim a little later on. If
how are you, Mr. Romano, other
making
than
dinosaurs
reverting to your dinosaur days as a child?
Okay, you never let me finish a sentence, though. You're always right in the middle of it when I... My punchline... I'm doing well, Mark.
We only have 60 minutes. So
I know. Did you have a good week?
I did. I took off to New York City, and after we do the news, I want to talk a little bit about a Broadway show that I saw the other night. It's kind of a quiet week in news, so maybe we should just kind of get right to it.
All right. As we do at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, besides Mark interrupting me, we do the travel
dinosaurs.
Travel news. Mark? I'm sorry.
Maybe we should just have the dinosaur news and not do the travel news. All right. This is kind of interesting. Air Berlin has gone bankrupt. Now, this is probably not of tremendous interest to a whole lot of folks who are listening to this program, but it might be of interest to one or two. If you are planning an international trip sometime in the future and you are going somewhere to Germany or through Germany, it's entirely possible that you might be using Air Berlin as a connecting airline, or you may have bought an itinerary where it was stuck in there somewhere. So if you're an international traveler and you don't know what airlines that you're flying on when you go internationally traveling soon, go and look at your itinerary and see if Air Berlin is on there, because the airline has gone bankrupt. Now, usually when an airline goes bankrupt, why they honor the tickets, they refund the tickets that you have already purchased. But in this case, some bankruptcy laws in Germany that we won't try to explain here on the Travel Guys are such that they cannot do that if they wish to declare bankruptcy. So they cannot refund the tickets. There are some rumors online, however, that if you have an Air Berlin ticket and you call the airline directly or communicate with them directly online, that they are willing to exchange it for a valid ticket. So it's really something, if you are traveling internationally and Air Berlin is part of your plans, then you need to make sure that you take some steps, because right now it's possible that your ticket might not be valid.
Got it.
Ouch. Mm-hmm. Thinking about going to Thailand sometime soon?
You never know.
Gwen Duncan told me about this week. She's going to come on and explain the whole thing next year. Tourists might face 10 years in prison if you vape in Thailand.
Really?
E-cigarettes in Thailand. Yes, we will talk more about this. She's got a little bit of the story here. But if you tune in next week, Gwen is going to tell us why you want to leave your e-cigarettes at home.
Interesting.
Little cultural things, you know, that you just need to know. Here's a cultural thing you need to know with the solar eclipse coming up tomorrow. South Carolina, remember we had the story about Bigfoot last week?
Right.
Well, they've warned of possible lizard men appearing during the solar eclipse.
Well, of course. They always appear during solar eclipses. Don't you know
the
that?
The South Carolina Emergency Management Division in a tweet has issued a tongue-in-cheek advisory on possible paranormal activity during the August 21 event, noting that they don't know if lizard men become more active during a solar eclipse. But they advised the residents of Lee and Sumter counties should remain ever vigilant.
Okay.
Lizard men. So there's, you're talking about dinosaurs. Lizard men are not that much of a stretch.
Yeah, lizard men and dinosaurs come out. You do know that the solar eclipse is very much like when it gets dark in the afternoon and evening when the sun goes down.
Uh-huh.
And birds will you know.
They were talking about that on the radio yesterday on NPR, that animals may become a little bit confused because this happens so, it only happens in one particular area every 350 years. So animals would not be, there would be nothing in their repertoire that would cause them to remember or say, oh, this is a solar eclipse, just ignore this. They said that it's very likely that animals, that all of their rhythms will be thrown off.
Yep.
And just imagine in Kauai, if you're in Hawaii, the roosters start crowing about 5 o'clock and wake everybody up every day. And if you've been to Kauai, you know all about this. So tomorrow it's going to happen twice. I don't know if Kauai is even in the path of the, we're going to try to touch with somebody who's waiting on the eclipse later on here in the show. Hotel cancellation policies. We've talked a lot about this on the Travel Guys. Jim Pelly, who's in the studio with us today. Jim has been traveling as a businessman forever. And so this is something that certainly would apply to people like Jim. The cancellation policy is changing from day of to 24 hours ahead of time to now changing to 48 to 72 hours ahead of time. In fact, it turns out, Tom, that Hilton Hotels actually tested a $50 cancellation fee in some markets earlier this year. No word on how that went, but the word has leaked out that they tried charging people a fee for cancellations. Hyatt has weighed in. They have decided they are going to go the way of Starwood, Marriott, and Hilton, which went to a 48 to 72 hour fee. They're going to 48 hours. Hyatt is. Remember that IHG Holiday Inn and their affiliated hotels have remained at 24 hours. And in fact, I stayed in a Holiday Inn on the road last week in a small town that had a day of cancellation policy. You actually could have called them until 6 o'clock the day of to cancel. But if you travel for a living and you use hotels, be aware of the fact that cancellation policies for many of them are changing, and even for business people. No word yet on, you get in one of those situations where your flight has canceled.
Right.
And you can't get there, but I'm guessing you call the hotel now, they're going to say, well, heck, our policy is 48 hours, so you're skewered.
Right, not our fault.
Well, and we've talked about rental cars perhaps being next. Here's an interesting thing that appeared on Chris Elliott's website. This is about a family that went on vacation. You know, kids that are 2 and under are considered lap children. But what if you went on vacation and your child was under 2 when you left but was over 2 when you came back?
Interesting.
And what if you went on an international trip? And what if you had to show a passport on the way back? And what if the child was now over 2 and the child was no longer a lap child and you didn't think about that?
Well, my first thought would be the age at time of purchase.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got?
No, I got this family spent almost $4,000 to buy another ticket. They were in business class. So it got kind of expensive because their kid turned 24 years of age during their international trip.
24 months.
24 months, mm-hmm. Yes, sorry. So something to be aware of.
Wow.
Certainly. I heard John talking about Jerry Lewis passing away. You know, saw Jerry Lewis on stage in Damn Yankees a number of years ago. It was his last Broadway headline appearance. And then several years later found out that Jerry Lewis, as a performer, he was afraid that somebody might come on the stage and get him. And for many of his performances, he carried a loaded pistol on stage with him.
Now, there's a piece of trivia not many people would know.
Some interesting stuff. Anyways, Jerry Lewis passes away at 91, was quite a Broadway entertainer, and of course, buddied up with Dean Martin a lot. I got to see.
Speaking of Broadway.
a great show on Broadway Saturday night. If you are thinking of going to New York City anytime in the foreseeable future, and if you're not, just file this one away so when it hits the road, you can go see it. I saw a show called Come From Away, which is about all the planes, international big planes, jumbo jets that had to land in Gander, Newfoundland on 9/11 after airspace was basically cleared. Nobody knew how many planes were going to come down or what was going on. So 39 jumbo jets with a lot of people all went to this little town in Newfoundland. And this play is this musical is about what happened in the town and how the people reacted. And, you know, of course, everybody on the plane had stories and people. And I have to tell you, I didn't think it was going to be that entertaining. It was absolutely one of the best investments of 2 hours I have ever made in my entire life.
It's amazing.
The audience at the end of the show did something that I've never, ever seen happen. They literally exploded out of their seats with applause. It was you wouldn't think something about 9/11 could be uplifting and entertaining. It was absolutely a terrific show. If you're going to New York, Come From Away. I got a ticket the day before. So it's possible. You don't have to plan for this one 9 years in advance and pay $500.
It's got to be pretty. How long has it been open?
It's been open since the spring. It won one Tony Award for Best Director.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gotten great reviews. But dare I say, anybody who was in the theater with me on Saturday night was just, what a great investment of 2 hours of your time and $100 for a ticket. Come From Away. It's going to be on Broadway for quite some time. It's open-ended, and they're selling tickets into the spring. So if you're going back there, I highly recommend it. And one of these days, it'll go on the road. And when it does, it's just a great show. Great, great show to see. Anyways, I just wanted to kind of throw that in there.
Thank you for that. That's fascinating. For whatever the reason, I've been not paying attention, and I've never even heard of this.
Yeah,
Come From Away. I'm thinking about what it must have been like, whoever wrote the, you know, the play, going into, you know, producers and so forth and say, I have this play about the night after 9/11.
They interviewed hundreds of people and were on the ground in Gander and who landed there. And in the show, there's this little television reporter who has just gone to work for the local television station there just before this happens. And she becomes kind of the celebrity of the whole thing because she is the media pretty much in this town.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that people in Canada have this wonderful laid back kind of practical sense about them. And that's very lovable. And that comes across a lot in this show, Come From Away.
And it's a musical.
The orchestra's on stage. It's a little bit limited and they play kind of a newfie sort of music.
Is it original songs?
All original stuff.
And they're singing.
And it was really, really entertaining. You can probably tell that I really enjoyed it.
All right, we are the Travel Guys. By the way, you can follow along with our nonsense at travelguysradio.com. All right, coming up here in just a couple of minutes, we're going to give you some tips to make you a smarter traveler in regards to something very, very important, how to not lose your luggage. That's next.
Boy, they're taking away all my fun on my phone and no more emojis. What's going on with that?
It's almost enough to make me get up and get out of bed. No, it's not at 5 o'clock in the morning.
We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Coming up a little later on, we got a eyewitness pre-eclipse non-sighting that we're going to have on the air. Jim Pelley's going to join us. We're going to talk about the Galapagos Islands and Machu Picchu.
Yes.
That's fun to say, too.
Yeah.
If I can say it. But before we do all of that, we're going to make you smarter traveler about things you can do to help keep you from losing your luggage. Mark, you got a great list here.
I think it's important on this program. When I ask people, you know, what they enjoy about the program or what they listen to, when they stop laughing, they say, the things where you make us smarter, where you tell us something that we can use when we go out there. And for years, I've watched Jim Cramer on MSNBC, who is a stock picker per se and stuff like that. And one of the things that Jim tries to do is not just tell you which stock he thinks that you might want to buy, but to try to help you understand why you might make that decision. And and how the market operates and things like that. So I think there are a lot of things about travel that are mysterious to people, and that we can, one at a time, we can debunk some of those things. So that's what I want to do with this part of the program from here on out. And so today we're going to start about ways to keep your luggage basically from getting lost. And I've got a list here of about a dozen, and I will tell you there are a couple here that I even didn't think of beforehand. So this is a really good list. First one, check in early. That's a fairly obvious one. If you wait until if the airline cutoff is 45 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever the cutoff is for your bag, and you come running in 2 minutes ahead of time, what's to say that the person behind the counter is going to make sure that it gets wherever it's supposed to be in the next 2 minutes? So when you check your luggage at the last minute, you are asking for trouble.
Okay. I never really thought about that.
Avoiding tight connections. You know, when your bag gets to, when you get to Houston.
That one I recognize.
When you get to Houston, your bag has to go from the belly of the airplane you're on to the belly of the airplane you're leaving on. So when you have a 35-minute connection, imagine how efficient that operation has to be behind the scenes. And almost every time, your bag makes it. So how is it that that happens? And, you know, once in a while you hear him saying, the pilot will come on and say, well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll just be a couple minutes here. We're just battening up here. We got a few last minute bags that we want to get on board. And you're thinking, oh, wow, my bags might have made it.
You ever stand there where the boarding area is in the windows and you can see the vehicles with all of the luggage on its way, and then it's going to your plane. You see your plane sitting there, and you're looking to see if you spot your bag on the carrier. Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't, but there's a lot of efficiency that has to go on there.
Bag tracking is getting more efficient. We'll talk about that in a minute here. International flights, do your homework. Do your homework about on-time records and make sure you allow yourself enough time. On an international flight where you have to clear customs somewhere, if it's not domestic to domestic, if you're flying into Frankfurt and you have to get in onto a flight Germany and get on a flight to Switzerland, you need 2.5 hours minimum, because they're going to be, remember we were just talking on the show a couple weeks ago about delays in the TSA style delays in Europe this summer because they were understaffed in some locations. So you've got to allow for that extra time. And in many cases, you have to claim your luggage and recheck it. So you've got to have flying for that. Fly with carriers that have a better luggage record.
Mm-hmm.
This information is available to you now. How many bags per 1,000 or per 10,000 that get lost with a particular carrier? Consider a microchip. There is a chip that you can put in your baggage that will, and if you go to travelguysradio.com, we've got a link that will take you to this, but you can actually put a chip, attach it, a tag to your bag, and then you can get your own updates of where your baggage is. And if someone sees that bag, they can either, if they don't have the scanning equipment where they see it, there's information on there on how to let you know where your bag is. So
okay.
That's a possibility. So
can you do that, see it on your phone? They do. My bag is in Galapagos Islands.
Double check the bag for the correct destination. Now, most bag tags these days are machine generated. So it's pretty hard for it to have the wrong destination.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't hurt to look at that tag or to confirm with the person behind the desk. Sometimes they will do it with you. If they don't, say one bag, that's one bag to Richmond, Virginia, correct? And make sure that they're on the same page. Take off all the old stickers on your bag, all the old baggage tags, and even the little destination stickers that people like United Airlines put on there that are just little barcodes with numbers on top of them. Make sure you take all of those off.
Yeah, the SW or SMF sticker.
That's the big sticker.
Yeah, now, well, what's the one that's almost
the
same?
The little one is little tiny, about a 50th that size, and it's just stuck on the side of your bag by United Airlines.
Okay.
So what that does is it says, this bag is going to Richmond, Virginia today.
Got it.
But if you left that tag on there on your next trip, you might be going to Poughkeepsie and your bag's going to Richmond.
Got it.
Okay, so make your bag unique in appearance. Put a strap or a sticker. People have been doing this for years.
Mm-hmm.
Something that says, that's my bag. As soon as it comes up, you've got a black bag, looks like everybody else's, but you've got a purple ribbon on it with a red sticker, and so you know that's your suitcase.
Yeah, I got a cow and chicken luggage.
And
a Ren and Stimpy.
Soon-to-be dinosaur, I'm sure. Don't overpack your bag. Bags that are overpacked can burst. This happens occasionally. You see a bag come out on the baggage belt, and it's burst, and they've kind of tried to gather it.
I hope my wife's listening.
Back together. If your bag bursts, you're in big trouble. Put a copy of your itinerary and your contact information inside your bag on top of your clothing. So it's very easy for someone to find. So if your luggage gets lost and the tags come off and they open your bag, they will know right where you are, who you are, and if it's been a long time, where you live, so that they can get your bag back to you. This is really a good one. Go directly to baggage claim to avoid someone else getting your bag. A lot of bags look the same. Don't dilly-dally. Make it to baggage claim so that if someone else does pick your bag off the belt, you might see it happen.
There you go.
And this is one that I didn't think about. Keep a photo of your bag on your phone. What a great idea. Because when your bag gets lost, you go into the baggage claim area and they say,
describe your bag.
Please describe your bag. Is it hard-sided or soft? What if you had a picture of your bag? Now the description is very easy to get. You might even be able to upload the picture to the baggage office if you needed to. I think that might be the best one on the whole list, getting a picture of your luggage. Mm-hmm. And keeping the pictures of your luggage when, and you'd only have to do it once. So the other thing is, don't pack anything in your bag that you'll need when you get to your destination. Your car keys, your house keys, your medication, anything like that. Because if the bag doesn't show up, then you need to be able to access that stuff. And like an idiot, I actually did that this summer. Checked a carry-on bag and it had the car keys and the house keys in it. And I'm like, what if that doesn't show up at the other end? So anyway, some ways to keep you from your luggage not getting lost along the way. I really like the one with the photo.
All right. I was just kidding about my wife overpacking. She's a good packer. In case she's listening, I had to cover. I could hear about that when I got home.
In case you're listening, Stephanie.
Yes, Stephanie's a good packer. Would not travel with anybody else, not even you, Mark. Okay. All right, coming up after the break, let's see. Okay, Jim Pelley joins us. We're going to Machu Picchu and the Galapagos
Islands. The place where the dinosaurs roam.
Where the dinosaurs are, that's right. Jim joins us, and then later on, Jackie from Oregon, we're going to talk about a pre-eclipse and what's going on there. Meantime, let's do some news here on KFBK. Travel guys,
a little dinosaur music for you here.
We're going to the Galapagos Islands, where their dinosaurs still walk the earth, with road reporter Jim Pelley from Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark,
yep,
give us a little update on Jim before we bring him in here and put him to work.
Jim is really kind of a strange person. He wandered into Sports Leisure Vacations a couple of years ago, and right off the street. And I thought, well, if I don't take this person in, how does he end up? So.
Wow, Jim.
Just in case you need help. Hey, thanks for that introduction, Mark. I really appreciate that. I'll find some way to pay you back in the future.
Actually, Jim has had a very storied career as a professional speaker and once was on the writing crew for Saturday Night Live about 100,000 years ago. And so he's as they say, he's been around.
Back awesome. When dinosaurs roamed the planet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So speaking of keeping with our dinosaur theme for today that you established, Tom, Jim went to Peru and he went to Machu Picchu. You went with your wife.
Yeah, there was actually a small group.
Can we say that on the air?
We can say that.
Because, if you didn't go with your wife, we wouldn't probably want to bring that up.
We should say that. In fact, she planned a majority of the trip, put it together. So we had 3 weeks in South America. We went to Peru, Machu Picchu. And then we spent a week in the Galapagos Islands. We took a cruise. Mm-hmm. And then we spent another week in the Amazon jungle.
Wow.
She did the planning, and yet you're the tour director.
Well, we're not really going to talk a whole lot about that, because look at the time.
So you've been thinking this was kind of a bucket list thing.
It really is. And I think anybody who's looked into Machu Picchu, you think, wow, incredible place on the planet to visit. When are we going to do it? Well, we did it this year, and I really am glad that we did. It's an amazing place to visit.
Pictures at travelguysradio.com, and you'll see how amazing it is. Best experience?
The people. As much as you go for some event or the experience to see an ancient civilization built on the top of a mountain, mm-hmm. I have to say the people of Peru are incredible. So that was our overwhelming.
Did that surprise
takeaway.
You? Was that something that you did? You have an expectation there, or
wasn't really expecting that, but it was quite delightful. And we had a private guided tour throughout our whole experience, which makes a huge difference.
So you paid a few bucks and decided that I've invested this much in my vacation. I'm going to invest a little bit more and make sure that I get to see the things. Let me ask you, Jim, going up to Machu Picchu, there's elevation. Now there's time dating on the tickets and stuff. Tell us a little bit about that, if you can.
So there are a couple things, and there's a debate when you fly in, do you immediately adjust to the altitude? Some hotels have oxygen piped in, some people take medication.
What altitude are we talking about here?
7,500.
Okay.
And then ultimately, when you're up to Machu Picchu, you're 8,500, 9,000. There are peaks at 14,000. We didn't hit those, but we did go to the top of Huayna Picchu, which is almost 10,000.
There's more than one Picchu.
There's more than one Picchu.
Explain.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh. So, in fact, on the Travel Guys website, the big mountain behind Machu Picchu is Huayna Picchu.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to say, on the radio, we climbed that mountain.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I know. It was very impressed. I was impressed. I could do it. Yeah. I don't want to go into my age and the
and
height.
That's with altitude, Chad. You know,
that's starting at 7,500 going, like I said.
How many people go all the way to Machu Picchu and then can't go the last?
A lot.
Really?
Yeah. It's almost a 45-degree vertical climb. So the majority of climbing Huayna Picchu is, in effect, stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Very steep stairs.
So Machu Picchu, there's an area that you're taken to.
Correct.
Where you can see most of it.
Yes.
And then there's a secondary, then you can kind of go actually to further.
And look down on Machu Picchu, which is incredible. Absolutely worth the hike.
If you could only go to the lower elevation and see it from there, would you say it's still worth the trip?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And it's a 30-minute bus ride with switchbacks just from the lower town, kind of their little resort area, to get to Machu Picchu. And there's a fair amount of hiking there.
Number one thing or tip, if you will, when traveling to Machu Picchu or the Galapagos Islands that you would give people?
Take your luggage. I think, just kidding. I had to throw that in from the other part of the show, just so you know I was listening. And I always say, so here's my tip.
Okay.
Two kinds of luggage.
Yeah.
Carry-on and lost. That's it.
Those are the only two.
There's a man. That's from a man who's piled up a few miles over. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I mean, when you go on an international trip and there's multiple carriers and people that don't speak the same language and all of this kind of stuff, and if your luggage gets lost, how does it ever get? I mean, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, because when you're going on a multi-day itinerary, you hope it can catch up to you.
Right.
What to avoid?
The water.
You mean like being in it or drinking it?
Yes. definitely bottled water and other issues with that. Again, the hotels we were staying at, not a problem, but something we watched fairly consistent. And the food standards, a little bit different there. So you're in a third world country. You're paying attention to what you're eating, what you're drinking, and where you're getting it. So fortunately, beer readily available. That's always a good standby.
Yeah, exactly. Here, honey, I don't want to drink that contaminated water. So you went to which did you do first, the land or the cruise part first?
So we first Peru and Machu Picchu.
Uh-huh.
Then we flew up to Ecuador and Guayaquil, went out on a 5-day expedition cruise. These cruise ships are specially built for that part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And just incredible. And then, of course, you're on the cruise ship and you take a Zodiac to the various islands.
We've got a picture on Travel Guys Radio.
The pterodactyl. right there.
Is it the pelican zooming in?
Pelican?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice
who can get
that.
The job done? A pelican.
If you wonder what we're talking about, if you go to travelguysradio.com, there are some pictures from Jim's trip. There also are connections to everything that we're talking about on the show today. You know, Jim, probably more than just about any other destination, Machu Picchu and the Galapagos, not necessarily together, but separately, are on a lot of people's bucket lists. I mean, just a lot. And you chose to, you know, it's kind of, I'm guessing you're saying, hey, we're only going to do this once. So let's knock out both of these with one trip.
That's exactly it. You're going to spend a day, day and a half getting there. You know, 1 week isn't really enough, Machu Picchu. So we added the cruise.
I want to ask you about the ship and about how you made that decision and what you saw when you got there to the Galapagos Islands. Will you stay with us for the second half of the program here?
Sure. Okay. Absolutely.
So, and we have an update from the eclipse and another update coming up too. We're the Travel Guys. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Tom and Mark, the Travel Guys here with Jackie Moore on the program. Jackie is in Oregon, my buddy that follows the eclipse. Now, Jackie, first of all, tell folks about the fact that you have done this before.
Well, I've done this only one time before. I went into Hawaii in 1991 for the total solar eclipse there, and it was so spectacular that I wanted to come when this one was going across our entire continent.
So, Jackie, tell
like a great opportunity.
So tell the folks who are listening where you are.
I'm in Corvallis, Oregon. So that's kind of just south of Salem, if you will, and it's in the path of totality. It's a college town, pretty small town.
And are you just standing by the side of the road? Did you say you've got a studio that you rented? So you're up there for a few days?
I did. I actually looked for something to rent a year ago, and all of the hotels were busy, so I was fortunate to find a studio on Airbnb. And I am in my studio, and this morning at the time that the eclipse will be happening, I was able to go outside and find out I can just walk out my door and see it right here.
Can we ask you what you paid for your accommodations since you bought them so long in advance?
I only paid $100 a night. It was very reasonable. The lovely couple hosting me did not all.
There you go. There you go. Well, good luck to you tomorrow with the eclipse.
I did invest in the solar glasses, and I bought those a couple of months ago. So I'm all prepared, and I was able to find some that aren't the paper kind, but they're kind of like a normal sunglass thing, so they'll be quite comfortable.
Jackie, thanks for checking in with us today.
Thank you.
All right, Jackie.
And I will see you next time.
All right, you bet. Thanks, Jackie. Jackie's tip of the day is plan ahead.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you, my dear. All right, bye for now.
All right, bye, Tom.
All right, a little eclipse update there. Jim Pelly is with us here in studio on the Travel Guys. We've been talking about Machu Picchu, and now we're talking about the Galapagos Islands. Jim, you mentioned that you took a cruise to the Galapagos, which, as far as I know, is the only real way to visit there, right? You have to take a cruise from Peru out to the islands?
Correct. The best way to see it is by cruise ship, and you usually only have two options. Midsize, some of the larger cruise ships, but a number of small catamarans and other. And in all of those, you'll have to get in a Zodiac to get on to the island. They're all primitive landings. Every day we would get a briefing what island we would be at and would it be a wet landing. So the Zodiac's coming on the beach, you hop out. You're only in a foot of water, but it does make for some excitement.
So once you land on one of the islands, so what do you get to do?
So it's really hiking around and exploring the island. And at least the islands that we saw, they were all highly diverse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one looks like the scape of the moon. It has a certain set of animals on it, marine iguanas and all birds. It's a birder's paradise.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most fascinating thing about the Galapagos that we were taught is it's so diverse, but it's not dense. So the animals have a chance to flourish. And they are innocent. So as people come onto the island, you know, we're used to the experience you walk in the park and you go by the birds and they all fly away. In the Galapagos Islands, they don't fly away. In fact, they'll come up and they'll peck your foot. They'll walk right by.
Wow.
There's no fear of humans. So it's a fascinating way to see the wildlife, whether, again, it's the marine iguanas, of course, Tom, the dinosaurs, that are still there.
Yes.
But if you like birds or really animals of any kind, you can literally walk among them.
Had you ever been any place like that before?
Never. Nothing like that in my life. And for that, it's worth going. Incredible photographs, incredible experience. You must always be on the island with a guide, and the groups are limited to 16. So that's the only way to visit.
Wow. That's fascinating. Now, how many different little islands are there to see?
On our particular cruise, and we tried to take the shortest cruise, 5 days. They tend to run 7 and 10 days. You can see upwards of 20 islands. We saw an island or two each day. So you're seeing one in the morning. You go back to the ship. You have lunch. The ship moves. You take the Zodiac out in the evening. And it's just so diverse. Like I say, one day the moonscape, the next day lush, tropical, totally different animals.
Now, what time of the year were you there? And is there a season? Is there a better time to go weather-wise?
Well, we're budget travelers, Tom. So we go in the wet. Well, you know, you're at the equator. It's basically always the same season. But off season, mid-summer. We just went last month. And the preferred season, fall through the spring.
We're talking with Jim Pelley, road reporter from Sports Leisure Vacations here on The Travel Guys. Jim is talking about, first we talked about his visit to Peru, to Machu Picchu on land. Now we're talking about the Galapagos Islands, which are reachable only by vessel. Jim, how did you decide which cruise? Now you said, obviously, there are big cruise ships that might hang around for a day or two and give people an opportunity for a mini experience. But you took a vessel from that was based in Peru. How did you make that decision as to, did a travel agent do this? Did you do it with homework? How did you come to your decision?
Yeah, really a great deal of research. The ships are in Ecuador. So the Santa Cruz 2 was a vessel that was designed just to cruise the Galapagos. Low bottom boat, only 100 cabins. And it was really from reading reviews. You know, we're in the era of what do people say about their experience? And I think there are a couple kinds of people that'll go to the Galapagos. And our experience is we want a medium amount of luxury. It doesn't have to be the big cruise ship, but it needs to be one that's comfortable.
Jim, we'll come back and check with you on talk a little bit more about the Galapagos in just a moment. Right now, we have a caller on the line here. We talk time to time, Tom, about the military cemetery down near Dixon. And, of course, which is growing by leaps and bounds. More and more people are being interred there. And they, every Christmas, they do something called the Wreath Project, mm-hmm. where they put wreaths on every single grave out there, which is a manpower thing, but it's also a money thing. And wreaths are not cheap, and there are a lot of graves there. So Curtis is on the phone. Hi, Curtis.
Hi there. How are you?
Hey, welcome back to the Travel Guys. To tell us about a fundraising event that the Wreath Project is having. This is a golf tournament that you guys have come up with.
Yes. It's at the Yolo Flyers Club there in Woodland. It's our first one. It's Friday, October 6th, and it's a shotgun start, and we're having $125 for players and just really trying to reach out to get as many players and sponsors as we can.
So if you're a golfer, it's $125 a player, or you can get together your own team if you wish. There's dinner afterwards, correct?
Yeah, dinner afterwards. We have hole-in-one contests, putting contests, and raffles and all that type of good stuff.
And all of the proceeds go to the Wreath Project, is that correct?
Yes, 100%. And we're going to be placing the wreaths Saturday, December 16th this year, rain or shine. 9 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to be placing over 20,000 this year. That's how many monuments we have.
And did I hear something from Melanie that the price of the wreaths had gone up a little bit this year?
Yes, they're $9 a wreath, and these are fresh wreaths, you know, with red Christmas bows on them, and just really pretty ones.
So $9, 20,000, that's 180,000. So this needs to be a big golf tournament. So folks, if you're a golfer, especially if you're an old military guy or gal, this would be perfect for you. It's on Friday, October the 6th. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you will see that we have posted all of the details right there on the homepage of our website so that you can get a hold of them and sign up for the tournament. Thank you, Curtis, for taking a couple of minutes to tell us about it. The Wreath Project is something that we support at Sports Leisure Vacations, and we're always happy to spread the word.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your ongoing support.
You're more than welcome, my friend. That's unfortunately, there are more and more soldiers are being brought there all the time, so the amount of money is growing. Jim, before we wrap up the program here and let you go, you went all the way to Peru. Had you been in that kind of a cultural situation before? I mean, had you gone to some place where you really had immersed yourself in
You know, similar. Costa Rica a number of years ago, but I think Peru is even more primitive. And certainly the Amazon jungle, the last part of the trip, extremely primitive.
Best thing about Peru? I mean, you said the people.
Ah, boy, the history. Just the incredible history of the earth and what came before you and looking at their architecture.
Now, we're hearing about crowds at Machu Picchu. How are they managing that?
Yeah, they're controlled. It's a time entry and a ticket. So again, we used a great tour provider. They took care of all of that for us, which was significant.
So doing your homework in advance and having the right people is money well spent.
Research. We saw people just show up and you can't even get on the bus to go up there. You can't get a ticket that day. So this is not a place you waltz into and hope for the best.
Jim, did you buy any insurance for this, any kind of cancellation, emergency?
Oh, good question.
Any kind of insurance for a trip like this? Because this is a pretty big deal and cost you a couple bucks. What do you think?
We did not.
Okay, just
we rolled the dice, and it was an extremely expensive trip.
But you and your wife are basically healthy, and so you took that chance.
So we looked at that, and like I say, we went with a number of other people that we took along with us. We've planned that. We've done that before.
Were there any moments while you were on this trip that you thought, you know, maybe I should have, or at any point leading up to
There's always it, 3 or 4 days before.
Is that usually?
Like, oh, do I have this? Am I okay? Do I feel, you know, just a headache? So, and in hindsight, that's probably something we'll look into a little bit more, because when you get into spending that kind of money, protect your investment.
You got about 30 or 40 seconds left. One or two things that maybe you think are important to share?
You know, for us, it's travel now. We're looking at the number of years we could do something like hiking in Machu Picchu or just having the ability. We always assume that'll be available to us. But, you know, looking at it and saying, wow, this is someplace we really want to see. Let's make the effort. This was 2 years in the planning.
Mm-hmm.
And know what type of travel suits you. We like having somebody greet us at the airport and a car is ready. And that experience made it so much more enjoyable.
Jim Pelley, our road reporter. Jim works as a tour director at Sports Leisure Vacations and has been sharing with us something about his personal vacation to Machu Picchu and the Galapagos Islands.
Thing I got out of that that probably was the best tip of the day was the last thing you said, Jim. You know, we got to kind of judge what we're capable of today and go out and do those things that may be a little bit challenging. And then later on in life, you know, when you may not be able to do all that stuff, that's when you take those kind of sit down vacation.
That's it. You have to pick the trip that is the best for you, that fits your physical abilities and your wallet too, but especially your physical abilities. Next week, Steve LaRosa will be joining us. He will have a what's going on about all kinds of cool things all around the Sacramento area. Tom, you behave yourself this week. You listeners, dance like nobody's watching.
Be safe, my friends. See you next week.